Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, a little delayed start there, but we had a lot to catch up on. Top Shelf Fantasy, Docket Podcast 311, November 7th, 2024. Trade deadline has come and gone. We're going to go over some Week 9 recaps, some start-sit questions we have from a few listeners and friends. TopShelfFantasy.com, start-sits out there. Dallas, how did we do last week? Did you get through those yet?
I did terrible.
So we won't talk about that. But on the season, we've done pretty good. I think I was probably like five out of 10 last week.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I'd say I was probably like 40%, but like I missed some battles. JSN was a miss, obviously. Like there are some big swings and misses for me in there, so I don't want to talk about it.
All right, then I guess we'll just move on. From the West Coast, we have Kyle joining us. It's been a couple weeks, so good to get you back here.
How we doing? Good to be back.
Yeah, we're doing good. Me and Dows are officially not in last place anymore in our Top Shelf Listener League, so we're in 11th, so we're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, don't let us get hot. Don't let us get hot.
I think we're already out of it, but yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Don't face us, baby.
We got two faces. We'll ruin your season.
I'm in 7th, and I was on another losing streak last week until JSN dropped 37, so I'll take it.
Well, yeah. All right. Got a full docket here, so we'll get right into the news. IR, we have one person on IR. It's Zach Moss. I believe it's a neck injury. So we'll get to the trade that they made because of that. But I think that's the only one that's on IR. Dallas, you can take the out guys. And there's one on there that might be on IR in the next week.
Yeah, T. Higgins is out. Obviously his team, the Bengals, are playing tonight. He's not out there with them, which is unfortunate. You know, he was finally starting to round into form, and now he's missed the last couple of weeks. So I think they have their bye week next week, and he'll probably hope to return after that. Darius Slayton is not making the trip to Germany. He has a concussion, so he'll not be playing, unfortunately. Dak Prescott is a candidate for IR with a hamstring injury. I think it's likely that he ends up there. That's what Jerry Jones was saying on the radio broadcast a couple days back, but they haven't put him on yet, so maybe they're hopeful that he'll be back sooner rather than later. And then Trevor Lawrence is out with a shoulder injury. We're going to see Mac Jones start in his place this week, which should be interesting. I think the advice would probably be to sit your Jags, but I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, we've seen Brian Thomas Jr. definitely be viable, but there's not much beyond him on that team right now. Etienne and Bigsby both been struggling. Offensive line doesn't look great. And Christian Kirk has already found himself on IR. So weird team to, find yourself at the helm of if you're Mac Jones. You know, he probably said, if Trevor Lawrence goes down, I'm going to have a really good shot with all these weapons. And it's not really shaking out that way for him. So enjoy. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I know, it's true. Guys, questionable, not practicing so far this week as of Thursday. I got Tony Pollard, a foot. This might be a rest day, too. We saw it last week. He didn't practice much, but he played. So he practiced yesterday. So probably more of a rest day for him. So don't worry too much about that. Chris Olave, concussion. We all saw the play last week. Surprised he got up. I expect him not to play this week or for the foreseeable future, but we will see. Michael Pittman, with his back and finger, did not practice today. Adam Thielen, still not practicing. There's even, I think, a week or two left on IR until he's got to be back or something.
No, right, because they only do that for the people that open the season on it. Is that correct?
Oh, they do? Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. Okay. So I think he can be on IR somewhat indefinitely.
Right. All right. Next one, Keon Coleman with a wrist, not practicing. And Nico Collins on IR, but he could be back this week. So far, not on the field with his hammy injury. So
he's the one that I would like really like to have back for a lot of leagues, but on top of that, expected to be back. This was the timeline that we originally got when he went down. So it'll be interesting to see if he's even like a limited participant tomorrow or something like that. But no practice so far this week is sketchy.
Yeah, you th hopefully like a walkthrough Friday. Don't play this week, but at least week 11, you'll get there. But a lot of teams, including Kyle, I know, who just traded for Nico, would love to have him there, especially
Oh,
with
yeah.
Chris Godwin injury. Yeah, you can take the next guys, Dallas, the guys that are trending in the right direction, sort of.
Yeah, trending in the right direction, sort of. Drake London logs limited practices back-to-back days, I believe. So he has definitely a good shot to get on the field this week. Kyle Pitts was limited with a hamstring injury. I think, a little bit more questionable than Drake London at this point. Tajay Spears was a full participant in practice, so he's trending up after missing the last couple of weeks. Will Levis practices in full. I mean, Mason Rudolph has not looked like the solution like that Titans might have hoped he was. So maybe as soon as he's back and at full health, Will Levis gets back on the field. That'll be one to watch. Brian Robinson, hamstring still limited, but trending up. That's a good sign. Austin Eckler's been decent in his stead, but I'm sure the Commanders like to have B Rob back on the field. Amari Cooper, who didn't play last week, is now limited at practice, but he's not catching passes. So that's something you'd like to see, a wide receiver do.
So he's jogging on the sideline. That's what that means.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one to continue to monitor, see if he can get at least a limited practice in, or either tomorrow or Saturday before the game. Devontae Smith still nursing a hamstring injury, but he's trending up. Looks like he at least has a shot to play. CeeDee Lamb dealing with a shoulder injury. I think, yeah, very limited. I was gonna say, I think I saw that he was running routes but not catching balls or something like that. So again, definitely worth monitoring. He also is dealing with his quarterback who's out. So keep an eye on him, because if Cooper Rush goes and he's really, really questionable leading into the week, he might be someone that lands on your bench even if he's activated.
Ooh, it's a hard guy to sit.
That's a hard guy to sit. And then AJ Brown is actually off the injury report entirely. It
Oh, he
seems like
is.
he's yeah, it
Oh,
seems like he's
okay.
recovered from that knee injury. I don't know if he logged a full practice, but he was not on the injury report. So I guess one kind of begets the other, but
All right. And yeah, and a guy like CeeDee Lamb, like hard guy to bench, but I mean, I think we went 4 weeks in a row with benching Tyreek Hill when Tua was
exactly.
out, and it was the right case. So kind of the same kind of tier player in fantasy. Just a
Yeah,
couple.
just go ahead. I
No, you're good. You can go.
was just gonna say, it's just tough to start any wide receiver tied to a bad quarterback. Like, you can't expect him to have the same 15, 20 point ceiling. It becomes like a 6 point ceiling. And then at that point, wouldn't I rather just start the riskier guy with the higher ceiling?
It's a tough call. Some more news. Khalil Herbert traded to the Bengals. He's playing tonight, actually. Not, I think he has one snap. Again, Zach Moss is on the IR. We did talk about Cooper Rush time in Dallas. Just Dallas being Dallas. Dallas made a trade for Jonathan Mingo, but couldn't trade a seventh round pick for Khalil Herbert, who would be their best running back on the team. And I
Literally.
guess everyone in the NFL is like, yeah, Dallas got fleeced with the Mingo thing. Like
They gave up a fourth.
they could have got it for free. Like
Right.
and you oh, it just drives me crazy. And Carolina's like, we need the picks. Like, this is
Right.
awesome. We got him for a
Because
fourth. This is
they
insane.
used a what, a second or a third on Mingo, and they got a fourth back for him. Like, that's great. That's a good return on your blown investment. And then in Dallas, who's really, like, realistically, last thing they need on their team is receiver. Like, yeah, you could use some more bodies, but like, who they have there is fine. That's not the issue.
Yeah, like I mean, again, like DeAndre Johnson went for free, and like you're
Right.
trading a fourth for Mingo. Like you couldn't get a fourth for like Courtland Sutton. Like
Right.
Amari Cooper goes for like this is what those kind of guys go for, and you got a guy like Mingo. But I guess Philly made a worse deal getting
Jahan Dotson.
yeah, so. But that was too early. I mean, we kind of know what Bingo is now, and he doesn't actually play on the team. So interesting. Big news, Christian McCaffrey expected to return this week. Only took us
Huge.
10 weeks to get him after the shocking out on Monday night, week one, ended up being a 10-week stint. So this is absolutely massive. Do you play him this week? I do.
You
I
have
mean,
to.
I think he was active. He playing no matter what. They just had a bye week too. He could have been good on week 8 or 9. And I said, yeah, you know what? We have week nine bye week. Why play him? So, yeah, if he's out there, you got to start the guy.
Yeah, he said he had a pain-free practice. So that's as good as it's going to get. Like, what, at that point, what else are you waiting for? If he's active, he's saying he's pain-free, then you're playing him.
And I'm a big seeing as believing guy. So I don't know if you guys caught the practice videos, but he looked good. He looked like his normal self, doing
Good.
jump cuts, looking sexy. So
Yeah,
he's ready
and
to
for all
go.
we know, like the Niners expected to have a better record at this point, and they're like, just stay healthy and come back for the stretch run. Like now we got to go win some games, but we'll
There
see.
is speculation that Jordan Mason will still get the bulk of the carries between the 20s, and then he'll be. They might ease him in as like a third down back situational player, but it's CMC. He can play all over the field. So yeah,
Yeah,
you gotta fire him up.
he needs one touch, right, from anywhere on the field, and it can be a house call. So, yeah, a bulk of the carries could very well go to Mason, and then the one carry that CMC gets from his own 30 goes to the house. Okay.
Keaton Mitchell's active tonight. I'm not sure he's played yet.
Yeah, I can't
I've
say I've seen
just
him out
seen
there.
Justice Hill get stopped on two third down plays. So yeah, he's not in there. Marshon Lattimore, not f fantasy relevant, kind of, but traded to the Commanders. Commanders secondary has been better than we thought the last 3 weeks. So adding a guy like that to that s secondary, now the Commanders aren't a team that you just line up your wide receivers to play against because they're so bad. They're now at least middle of the pack,
Yeah.
ranking from like 13 to 18, maybe. So just a little news there for the Commanders. They're kind of not going all in, but giving Jaden Daniels as much help as they can. And then another one like CMC, Jonathan Brooks, finally is going to make his debut week 10, the day that Chuba Hubbard gets a 4-year extension with Panthers. So Panthers doing Panther things. Nothing against Chuba at all, but it just makes no sense to have a cheap rookie running back and you have a bunch of holes on your team and you give a 4-year extension, not even a 2 or 3, to Chuba. So I think it's a bad move, but I don't know what you guys think.
I just think paying running backs in the NFL at this point is a bad move. But yeah, I mean, we've seen how much they like Chuba, and we know that teams want to have a multi-headed backfield. The problem is that now they have the money for Chuba tied up and the money for Miles Sanders tied up, which is 3 for 33 at the time, which is just a joke. He like if they can get him off the team next year, then it makes more sense. Like I get that. Then you have your cheap rookie, Jonathan Brooks. You have Chuba, who you kind of had to extend to keep. And then you get Miles Sanders off the roster, and he looks a lot better. So if that can happen, I'm on board with it. Especially if it's going to be nearly a 50-50 split, depending on how they use Brooks, depending on how he looks. I guess we kind of have to wait and see on that. But I don't hate it inherently, just based on how good Chuba's looked. But paying the running back when your team is as bad as it is doesn't make a ton of sense either.
Yeah, he's now the 10th highest paid running back in the league. I just pulled it.
That's nuts.
So behind DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Alvin Kamara, Bijan, CMC, Saquon, and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, those are the names
Yeah.
you expect to hear up there, not
Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard.
Well, good for him, but
Yeah, hey, that's his one contract. So get it, get paid, and that's probably the last we'll ever see of him once that runs out.
yep. All right, week nine top shelf performances. Kyle, you want to start with the quarterback?
Sorry, yeah, I was tracking where we are. Well, I don't know where we are. I'm sorry.
We're in the second segment, top shelf performances.
Joe Burrow. Yeah,
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, Joe Burrow.
it
sorry about that, boys. 30.1 points in standard leagues was 27 for 39, 251 yards passing, and 5 touchdowns through the air with 1 interception and then 3 rushes for 11 yards. Yeah, I mean, he was balling out, right? I think. It was in, well, the one takeaway for me as a fantasy watcher and sometimes contributor was that out of 5 touchdowns, Ja'Marr Chase had 0 and T. Higgins
Yes.
didn't play. So these touchdowns were going to guys like Chase Brown, Mike Gesicki had 2. So I guess good to see that Burrow has confidence in the broader receiving staff on his team, and he's been spreading it around tonight. We're what, halfway through the second quarter right now between Cincinnati and Baltimore, and that target distribution still looks pretty similar. They're riding Chase Brown a lot, which is interesting. But yeah, Joe Burrow, throw it back to you, Dawes, for RB top shelf performance.
Top shelf running back of the week, Saquon Barkley. If you haven't seen it by now, I don't know what you've been doing, but that run where he backwards jumped over a guy was pretty sweet. That was the highlight of it, but 2 seconds prior on that run, he had juked and spun around two different defenders. So this stuff we like to see. 31.4 points on 27 rush attempts for 159 yards and one score on the ground. Plus, he added three catches on four targets for another 40 yards and a touchdown through the air. Like, just exactly what the Eagles hoped they were getting when they acquired Saquon. And I mean, he's delivered week in and week out at this point. So, I mean, there's not much else to say. He's a dominant running back on a dominant offensive line on a good offense, stepping up when they need him to step up.
Yeah, he's a good player. Wide receiver, JSN, the game that we wanted for a year and a half. 13 targets, 7 receptions, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Just watching that game, every time that Geno threw in the end zone, I'm like, all right, it can't be JSN again. And then it was. So after a couple weeks, down weeks without DK Metcalf, wouldn't be shocked if you sat him for someone else. But hopefully you started him, because he likely will won you the week just on 33.5 points.
Yeah, he won me the week, as I said there. So, but and wrapping it up here, the tight end, I guess I got out over my skis there, is Mike Gesicki. So, 5 receptions on 6 targets for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns from Joe Burrow. So he looked polished. I think something to add here anecdotally is that we're finding that he gets targeted a lot more because he's effectively a slot receiver when T. Higgins is not playing, because Ja'Marr Chase moves to the outside when he's typically in the slot. So fire up your Mike Gesicki's tonight. I did. TBD if it works out. He's got a couple targets tonight, but nothing huge.
Yeah, I mean, he got a target. It was, I think, out of the 2 yard line, so he was almost there, Kyle. And
Almost.
a few guys we got to put in there too. Jalen Hurts, 29.9 points. Devon Achane, 28.1. Zay Flowers, 27.2, and Kate Otten once again killing it at 17.7. So, yeah.
Lamar Jackson just trotted back to the locker room for what it's worth. I don't know what he's doing there, but I don't know if he's just getting some treatment. He did run, so I guess that's a good sign, unless it's a hand injury, in which case it wouldn't matter.
Maybe he has to
Something to
poop
monitor.
again. There was that
Hopefully
was
that's
him
it.
that one time he had to poop.
Yes, that was him. There's also Paul Pierce. Sorry, you gotta keep those guys straight.
But like, if I'm Anthony Richardson and they ask me, hey, why'd you leave the game? Don't say you're tired. Say you got to poop.
Yeah.
Like,
I also, let's talk about that for a minute. I have no issue with him saying he's tired. If he's so gassed that he can't perform at his highest level, cool. Admit that. Get out. Get a breather. Get back in.
well,
No problem with it. I didn't understand him getting dogged for it so bad. I mean, you could audible into a run, but then you're still hurting your team if the situation calls for a pass and he just can't hack it.
I mean, especially in a coming back from it's like a injury around your ribs and stomach,
Right.
like you're gonna be gassed fast because
He's
you
dealing
can't
with a
breathe
core
in.
injury and he just got hit in the core and he ran. Like, I've been there. I fractured my ribs. It sucked. I couldn't take a deep breath for months. If he's dealing with
Oh,
anything
dude,
remotely close to that, like,
I still can't. It's not because of the ribs, because I'm out of shape and fat. But in my younger years, I had trouble breathing because of that. So yeah, I blame my weight gain and athleticism on my ribs. Week 9 bottom feeders. I'll start with the quarterback, Joe Flacco, 4.1. Kyler, 4.8. Caleb, 9.2. Goff, 9.6. The Kyler one and Goff one, I kind of like throw out as outliers. Like Arizona was up early and easy against the Bears and didn't have to throw it. They didn't have to have Kyler run it in. So that's fine. And Lions were just running the crap out of it that game. But the Flacco one was shitty because, all right, you start Flacco, A-Rich is benched, great. The receivers are going to be awesome. And there were a lot of like third and shorts that they really could have used R Anthony R Richardson. And then I think Dowse, you said, like, say what you want about A-Rich. He can hand the ball off to a running back. And it was that fumble in the first drive, I think, to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, just a bad handoff. Nothing to hear. At least he wasn't tired though. But like, I don't know. It just wasn't the performance you expected to see from Flacco from what we had seen previously in the season. So hopefully he'll bounce back. It seems like they're going to stick with him for another week. I don't think you can do anything other than stick with him for at least another week.
I
So
think they said
you can't flip flop on the
for
on yeah.
the entire season, which
Yeah.
you have to say, but like week 12 comes, see what your record is, and be like, all right, if we're out of it.
If you really need to go back to A-Rich, like it gets that bad, then you have Flacco like take a dive, like fake an injury. Like you okay, you're hurt. Like, oh well, I guess we have to put Anthony Richardson back in.
Not
That's
many
the only way to do it at this point.
teams would do that, but the Colts would.
The Colts
Colts
would.
absolutely would.
Yes,
That's the
100%.
team that would do it.
That's veteran savvy. But then, yeah, I mean, you nailed it with Kyler and Goff, and then Caleb just has not been able to get it right against the better teams in the league. He's feasted against the bums, and I guess we'll see what happens this week with New England. I think I'm going to keep saying that all season with Caleb. Like, we'll see what happens this week. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to make of him because he'll make a great throw and then immediately make a bonehead play. And I just back and forth nonstop with me. And I know we talked about it before. It's like he's getting the same exact treatment that Justin Fields got insofar that he gets no blocking. He's running for his life. He has to move around and he's not able to make it through his read. So I can't even tell you if he's making progressions and getting better or not because there's no time for him to do any of that. It's just survival ball, which is what ran Justin Fields out of town and, soured the taste of his performance in the Bears fans' mouths. So I can't just wait and see what happens.
All right. I like Kyle Chu. Dallas, gonna take the running backs.
Yeah, running back, bottom feeding pieces of shit of the week. Bucky Irving, who you thought was probably going to have a good game, psych, 4.9 points. Nick Chubb, who finally probably made it back into your starting lineup, boom, you're an idiot, 4 points. And then Tyrone Tracy and Jonathan Taylor, who were probably starters in your lineup, 7.4 points, which you might be able to like, get by on from Tyrone Tracy, but JT putting up 7.4 is that hurts.
Yeah, that one stung.
That stinks, yeah.
The entire Colts offense was just shit, so.
Yeah, and then
Kyle.
Bucky Irving had every opportunity to score a touchdown and just got vultured by Rashad White twice.
Yeah, and I mean the KC defense is good. Like they're best against the run, so if he wasn't scoring a touchdown, he was doing nothing at all.
Yeah, a lot of the I'll take wide receiver. So you'll see a common theme here. A lot of the wide receivers are following poor performances from their quarterbacks. MHJ, Marvin Harrison Jr., only 2.4 points. Again, Kyler didn't have a need to throw much because Arizona was up big and ran the ball extremely efficiently. Michael Pittman, I mean, we've seen this all year. I don't know what's going on with Michael Pittman. Maybe he's just mid. They gave him a ton of money, but they drafted some competent receivers. I think it's a combination of that, where he's just trying to find his place in the offense now, and the constant flip-flopping of the quarterback. So Joe Flacco, as we said, had a very uninspiring performance this week. Puka Nacua only had 1.6 points. This one wasn't tied to his quarterback at all. He got ejected for a really soft punch. I don't know what was up with that on the referees. Like, yeah, flag him, but my perspective is that you shouldn't be tossing a guy. You just kind of slapped the side of his helmet. But he got ejected very early in that game. And then DJ Moore, again, tied back to Caleb Williams, only had 5.3 points and looked like he gave up on a play. I know that was a fairly big controversy today where Caleb goes into a scramble drill and DJ Moore literally walks off the field. He did look like he came up gimpy a little bit and sat down on the bench, but you can't just give up on a play like that. So I'm not
It was
really sure.
also like oddly the first quarter,
It was
which,
the
yeah,
f first drive. It
like
was
there
the
wasn't enough time for him to be this upset. Like,
which
I don't
is
know.
scary. Like, because if it was, and then it's like, at the end of the play, Caleb made a throw to Keenan Allen, incomplete, but pass interference. First down. Like, and I was telling Dallas, like, that play, it's like, what if Caleb did start running your direction? You walk out, that defender just lights up Caleb because you're not there to block.
Yeah, 100%.
You hope that he got undressed in film review that like this week, and I'm sure he did. He probably got, a tongue lashing from everybody.
They had Gronk on some show watching it, and he's like, yeah, that's not good. And then someone's like, well, it looks like he might be like limping a bit. He's like, yeah, I don't think he is, but like, even if you are yet, you don't go off the sideline, and then you don't go on the bench. Like, you walk off and you turn around, put your hands in your hips, watch the play. You don't go to the sideline, sit on the bench when your quarterback's still running for his life on the other side. Like, he could have still came right back in and blocked.
Well, yeah, and then that
Like, he
was
could have ran back in. Like,
the devil's advocate argument that I heard was like, oh, he knew that he was out of bounds, so he's no longer eligible, so he doesn't want Caleb to think that he can throw it to him. But like, great, I'm pretty sure you can reestablish in bounds just by touching an opposing player. Like, so don't stop. Again,
and you can
don't
still
stop the
block.
play.
You can
And
still
guess what?
block.
If you thought the play was over and it was third down and it was going to be fourth down, then commit a penalty. Who cares? Just go show some effort. Because effort's more important than giving up, 5 yards at that point on a penalty. I don't know.
It
It's
was.
just a very weird situation.
Yeah, I found it very, very odd. Tight ends, Cole Kmet, of course, linked to the Bears, 0 points after some massive, massive games. Kyle Pitts, huge game week eight. Week
Eight
nine,
because of the bye. No.
week
All
eight,
right.
he had like 25 points. And then last week, 1.6. And then Zach Ertz was off to a good start, 1 point. So all these guys are probably in your lineup. Ertz, maybe not, but he's been a streamer, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, tough outing for tight ends this week. Also, Kyle Hamilton seems to have done something horribly bad to his ankle, but he did walk off the field. Well, he got helped off the field, and then he
Did he
walked to
run
the.
like Lamar though?
No, he did not
No,
look as limber.
he is screwed then. He is screwed. All right. We will oh, we got the game on right now. It's 7-7. End of the second quarter. Got the Bengals into the red zone, and I believe they have a first down once again, but we move on. Instead of going through start sits or whole fold, we have a pretty good bye week. Well, not good, bad bye week teams, but the Raiders, Seahawks, Browns, Packers, maybe not the Raiders. What they pick it off, Cal? Ah, damn it. All right. Joe Burrow threw an interception in the end zone.
Targeting Mike, Gesicki. So
Hey, let's.
I like the vibes, but
Yeah.
not the
Yeah.
execution.
Cal put the call in for who to throw it to. It just didn't play out.
Yep. But yeah, so we have Seahawks, Browns, Packers, Raiders on bye. Again, Raiders, not sure how many people you're starting there besides Jacoby Myers, maybe Alexander Mattison. Of course, Brock Bowers. But Seahawks got JSN, DK, Ken Walker, Geno, even Lockett. Browns, of course, you have Winston, maybe, but you got Cedric Tillman that kind of stepped up, Njoku. And then Packers, you have what, four or five guys you kind of start each week. So there's some big names out there. And I know in a lot of my leagues, a lot of your leagues too, guys, I'm sure you see your opponent be like, how are they starting this shit team? And then their bench is just full of Seahawks and Packers guys. So I wanted to get some start sit questions out there to some people, some friends, some people in some leagues. So we have about five questions. I'll go through them, guys. I'll ask you what your thought is. Question one, who do I start in my flex spot? Calvin Austin or Pat Freiermuth for the Steelers? We also forgot to mention that Mike Williams did get traded to the Steelers.
My number one question is, whose team is this? How did you end up here? And I guess it's probably Freiermuth for me. Even though like he and Darnell Washington are like now somehow splitting targets, it's very upsetting as a Freiermuth owner. but I'm going to continue to roll with Freiermuth and hope for the best. Van Jefferson somehow put up points last week. So I don't think it's necessarily just like Calvin Austin's job to, or spot for him to go pop big. I think I just play the safe money and go Muth. I don't love it. It's not a great feeling I have on this one, but that's my stance.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'm inclined to go Muth as well. But that being said, Muth's numbers have kind of dropped off precipitously with Russell Wilson starting. So just keep that in mind. Russell Wilson, even in Denver, even in Seattle, didn't consistently target the tight end position or even the middle of the field. He likes to throw to the boundary. And that's why you see guys like George Pickens thriving at this point. And maybe Mike Williams. I'm a Mike Williams hater, so I don't think he's going to make a difference, but maybe he opens up the middle of the field for Muth and makes it more obvious for Russell Wilson to target the middle of the field. That's my sincere hope as a Muth owner as well.
Yeah, that's the only thing that you're clinging to.
Yeah, and it does suck because we had a few weeks with Justin Fields and Freiermuth that looked good. I think he's the number one receiver in catch percentage still. And for some reason, you'd like to throw it to a guy that is going to catch the ball almost every single time. But I know he's had like a touchdown callback here and there too. So. Yeah, I go Muth too. I was gonna say awesome, but then I put myself in my shoes. Like, if they're both on my team, what would I actually do? And it's Pat Freiermuth. I'm not getting cute with it. So, yeah.
They also overturned that pick for Joe Burrow, and then he got sacked.
Oh, they're just overturning everything for these guys. They're
Everything.
just
Dude, the NFL, man, the script.
Vegas. All right. So we got Muth there over Kelvin Austin. Next one. Really not a start sit, but if you had to start any Tampa Bay wide receiver, who would it be? Sterling Shepard, Trey Palmer. I guess Jarrett is the next guy. McMillan's still out, or at least he's not practicing so far as of Thursday. Kyle, take this one first. I'm sorry. It's a bad one, but
Yeah, I mean it's a tough one. I would lean McMillan if the hamstring is healthy. I just think he's the best talent there. But he hasn't been able to get on the field, and obviously the best ability is availability. So between the three of Shepard, Palmer, and Jarrett, I'd have to go Shepard simply because he's getting the targets and he's got that rapport from way back in college in Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield. So I don't feel great about it, but yeah, Sterling Shepard is my choice of these three.
I agree on Shepard. In addition to the targets, you saw them use him on that jet sweep a couple times last game. So if that's going to be something that's drawn up for him, he at least has the ball in his hands with the shot to break something big. So you have to pick Shepard. I mean, Rakim Jarrett had one catch last week. That's not enough
Like
on two
one
targets, I
for
think.
like six or something like that. Yeah.
It's just not enough. And then Palmer just hasn't impressed me. So best of luck if you're choosing between these bums.
Yeah, and like
Jermaine?
Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton in his pajamas, making a
And
big catch.
he's got a bunch of like casino coins coming out of his pocket. That's
I
crazy.
have a lot of hope for the young man. I really
I
do.
forgot to bet anytime TD for him too. Damn it. Oh, he's not too
He just pulled out of, yep, on the 5 yard
on the
line. Oh,
fire,
I'm
but
tired.
still
He's tired. Him and Anthony Richardson over there talking about how tired they are.
so sleepy, so tired. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, so I would go Shepherd too. Is that Tanner Hudson? God damn,
Yeah, it's
they
not
should
Mike
just
Gesicki.
score.
The Hudson News.
Not Jamar
All right.
Chase, not
So
Chase Brown. None of the guys that you started in fantasy
that
football are catching touchdowns tonight.
and then Ravens, we have Nelson Aguilar. There's
Exactly.
four other receiving options that are in fantasy lineups, and not him.
I gotta just
What if you
start betting those, like anytime touchdown, Tanner Hudson, $5. You know what I mean? Like, it'll pay off someday. I can
You
do it
win
every
30.
week. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I took
you
Bengals spread and money line, so I'll take this, but yeah, for fantasy purposes, come on.
yeah, like you win that bet or like the pick-ems, you're like, cool, but like I feel
Right.
dirty. Like my fantasy team just lost, but I won $10.
That's actually one of the best ways for me to do it. That makes my life a little bit, more wholesome, is that I just bet all of my opponent's players to score touchdowns. So when I lose in dominant fashion, embarrassing fashion, I should say, at least I get
Yep,
paid out.
exactly.
It's like betting the over and the under on the
Yeah,
yards,
it's like, oh, I either win fantasy or I win some money.
All right, next one. This is a Mike Mahoney question. Jalen Waddle or DeMario Douglas?
Oh,
Dougs.
ugh. Who does Miami play this week? Off the top of your head,
The Rams. It's the Monday Night Football game.
I will play Jalen Waddle, and my reason being, he's due. And that is not a good reason, and that's not how you should start your fantasy lineups, but he's due. The Rams have a good defense. They've shown up enough to stop enough teams this year that they have won some games. So I really am just praying for a shootout between Miami and LA, hoping for the best, I suppose. DeMario Douglas faced off against the Bears with the Patriots. Drake Mays looked good, at least better than Jacoby Brissett has all year, but DeMario Douglas doesn't see enough volume in his targets to, I think, be a viable fantasy option. It's still spread between too many mouths over there and too many subpar mouths in New England for me to really want to lean in on DeMario Douglas too heavily. So I'm going to play the talent here. I think Waddle's better than Douglas. I think he has a higher chance of getting in the end zone, which is really how you're going to like separate these two scorers over this coming week. So, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, I think that one's easy for me. It's Waddle. I was gonna say Douglas as a joke, but not that funny. But I mean, Douglas last 3 weeks hasn't done much, like 2 points, 2 points, 7 points last week on seven catches. You'd think that'd be at least 10 points in half PPR. He's 35 yards, so he's getting the ball like right at the line of scrimmage, and if you don't break it, you're not going to do much. Like, you can get seven catches, but if it's not over for over 50 yards, then there's no point to start him. Yeah, again, Waddle's due. I hate always saying that, but Douglas goes against the Bears, and Bears aren't a bad defense either. So I'm taking the guy that's linked to, I mean, you held Waddle all year for Tua to get back, and you got to trust the process.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I'll
Next.
round it out. Waddle as well, but
Oh, sorry,
no,
sorry. Fuck
that's
you
fine.
now.
What I had to add, I'm in agreement with everything you guys said. And then the last thing I'll add is that the Rams at the trade deadline traded superstar cornerback Tre'Davious White to the Baltimore Ravens. Actually, I haven't paid attention to him specifically in this game yet, but probably should. So it's probably going to play a factor here. In the pass game, or the defensive pass game, I should say, for the Rams. So fire up your Waddles, even though he went for -4 yards last week and a touchdown.
Somehow, yeah. Weirdest
Well,
stat
it's
line.
because of the last play of the game. There's a couple things wrong with fantasy. We could like argue over, kind of just have to accept it. It is what it is. But on those last plays of the game, or like end of the half plays where they're lateraling, I feel like the play from a fantasy perspective should be null and void once the first person laterals backwards,
Was it
because they're
minus
just
24 yards?
yeah he was like two catches for what, 11 yards or 17 yards or something like that, and he went for like minus 23. At least he didn't fumble it, because that's another thing that really bugs the heck out of me,
Yeah,
is
those
when
are
they're trying to
brutal.
lateral, like, is that really a fumble? I know statistically, but I guess as I talk myself in circles, in hockey, we used to say, hey, goal's a goal. It doesn't have empty net next to it at the end of the season in your stat line. So I guess that applies too, but really frustrating as a fantasy owner,
S
obviously.
similarly with quarterbacks, when they chuck up the Hail Mary obligatorily at the end of the game and it's a pick instead of just falling harmlessly to the turf. It's like, it's the same play that other guys don't get penalized for. Somebody just happened to catch it, and I now get a minus, interception on my QB stats. Just stinks. It's a bummer. I would like to see some sort of way to treat that, but really can't.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next one.
Oh, Deontay Johnson doing something embarrassing on a football field?
No.
No.
Good
Lamar just
tackle.
looked pissed for some
No,
reason.
no. Well,
He didn't get out of bounds.
he was pissed because then Lamar said that that's on me for not throwing it more out so you can get out of bounds.
Okay.
Gonna need a big half out of Lamar here. Not doing well for the fantasy squad.
Same, and I'm playing. I mean, I have him in like five leagues. Way too invested on Lamar.
I'm playing against him, but I need a big half because I do have Flowers and Diontae. So, and then I have Bateman in a league. I don't have Nelson Aguilar though,
Ah,
so I picked the wrong
fool,
guy. I'm an idiot.
a
Took
fool
it a
of a
fool.
Tuck.
Took it a fool.
Hey, so you
Errors,
both went Lord of
errors.
the Rings. All
Yep.
right, this is now a Lord of the Rings podcast.
Nerd. Next one. Sit one of these guys. Let's assume Drake London doesn't play. Okay.
Okay.
If he plays, it's a lot easier. It's Ray Ray McLeod, but it's between Ray Ray McLeod, Xavier Leggett, Wanda Robinson. Sit one, assuming London doesn't play. If London plays, this is a lot easier.
Yeah, like you said, if London plays, easily Ray-Ray McLeod. London's out. I think it might still be Ray-Ray McLeod, but I think I'm going to go Wan'Dale Robinson as my sit.
Yeah, you're.
I don't know. I don't know. It's tough because both the Giants and the Panthers are playing in Germany, so we already have the travel implications, the hindrance that you see on offense when they travel overseas pretty consistently. I'm just hoping Xavier Leggett breaks one big. That's really it. But he did break his hand last week, so there's that. He's not even on injury reports. He broke his hand last week, so that's a fun fact.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I know we're assuming London plays or sits, but remember Kyle Pitts at the beginning of the pod is also questionable
Hamstring, yep.
with a hamstring too. So yeah, I think you gotta play Ray Ray. And Leggett has looked very good, broken hand and all. Wandale has been a bit of a spam if you're in a PPR league, but last week I didn't realize he only had four targets and three catches for 10 yards. So
He
got to be
did get
better
a
than that.
touchdown call back, but again, he got that happens all the time. So,
And
yeah.
then they are playing Carolina, who's bottom of the barrel in every category, defensively and offensively, besides Chuba Hubbard. I support you, Chuba. You earned that. Yeah, I'm probably sitting Wandale and rolling with Xavier and Ray Ray here, but definitely a tough call.
Yeah, this is my question. Again, I'm in bye week hell right now. This is
Yeah,
tough.
that's tough.
I don't think either one's a bad start because with especially with Darius Slayton out, Wandell should see a little more uptick too. All right, I'll sit Wandell if London sits. Again, it's
Probably
gross.
just
I get it.
means Tyrone Tracy is going to get a lot of work.
I know they're
So,
like,
yeah.
well, like Jalen Hyatt, I'm like, dude, stop with the Jalen Hyatt shit, you
No,
guys.
do not even
Stop
talk
it.
to me, Jalen
Don't listen
Hyatt.
to it. Is that Dickey? That
No,
sounds like a
no, no,
Dickey
no, no.
comment. That sounds
Just
like a Dickey comment.
watching his
Just
highlights
Twitter.
from Tennessee, man.
But I'm a Hyatt truther, man. Like you're a truther of every guy that stinks and like one randomly makes it. You're like, I called that. I'm a genius.
Guys, I watch Bryan Edwards highlights from college still. I know he's a bust, but his college game is unreal. One of the
College
best
days
players.
unreal. The
Okay.
pride of South Carolina.
So
I
good.
mean, yeah, I watch Henry Ruggs NASCAR highlights too, so it's fine.
All right. Last one, Jordan Addison or Rashad White?
Oh man, I actually have both these guys on one of the same teams, and I'm making this decision this week. And I'm playing Rashad White.
Okay.
That's my whole point.
Go.
Jeez, these are tough. The White's in that three-headed backfield, but they're playing San Fran, so they're gonna have to throw the ball, and he's the best pass catcher out of the backfield between Bucky Irving and Sean Tucker. Yeah, I probably gotta go Rashad White just because he's in a tougher matchup, which seems weird. Addison is playing Jacksonville, who's not really great on defense, but and as we said at the beginning of the segment, Mac Jones will be starting on offense. Christian Kirk's out on IR. Like that offense is decimated for Jacksonville. So got to predict a bit of a blowout here for Minnesota and that they'll probably lean heavy on Aaron Jones, hopefully, maybe Cam Akers. So this is a dart throw for me. But I guess I lean White just because of the prospect of getting targets out of the backfield in what should be a San Francisco dominant game.
Yeah, I'm going White. when it's something like this and it's close, I just go with the guy with most volume base, and that's White over Addison.
I mean, I got a last one if you want a real gross one.
Ooh,
Dallas
I'll take it.
pick two, Jalen McMillan, assuming he starts or his hamstring is finally ready to go. Dallas Goedert, Samaje Perine, Tyler Allgeier, or Michael Wilson. Start two out of five.
Right, so who was the first one again?
So it is
McMillan. McMillan.
Jalen McMillan, assuming his hamstring's good to go. Dallas Goedert back from a hamstring injury this week. He's got cleared to go. Samaje Perine, Tyler Allgeier, or Michael Wilson versus the Jets.
I think Goddard's a must for me. The other ones are tricky. I don't want Perine, I'll tell you that.
Perine got a touchdown last week.
Yeah, on a fluke play, that won't happen again. Michael Wilson, I don't necessarily want against the Jets either.
I'm
All right,
going.
drop Perine out of that then. So Michael Wilson, Tyler
Okay.
Allgeier, Dallas Goedert, or Jalen McMillan, pick two.
I feel like it's got to be McMillan based on his role in the offense if he plays, and what I expect him to be capable of. Your other like flyer is probably Allgeier, but Allgeier just hasn't been what he was at the beginning of the season on a consistent basis. So, I mean, I guess he hasn't been that much difference consistently, not that impressive. But man, they do play New Orleans though. There's a world where Allgeier gets involved in the offense against New Orleans, who's just not good. And we just saw Chuba abused last week. So,
Chuba's one of a
yes.
kind, though. That's why he got paid. He's the
True.
10th highest paid running back. Dallas put
That's
some
true.
respect on his name.
That's
You're
true.
so
I
fucking dumb,
apologize.
dude.
Yeah, so I think Goddard's one, and then I'm taking out everyone else besides Allgeier and McMillan.
This is one of the weeks where
I
you just
would
leave a
go.
spot open on your roster and then talk mad shit to your opponent, how you beat him without even a stat the guy playing.
No,
Well, this is for
I
last
do
man
think.
standing, Dows, so I need the points.
Oh.
Can't
I
afford that.
think I'd go McMillan if he's healthy
Yeah.
over Allgeier. But if I had to rank Goddard, McMillan, Allgeier, Perine, Wilson, but
If McMillan's out, Goddard sounds like he's a play, so pick one
Allgeier.
between. Okay, Allgeier. Nailed it.
Knowing
All right.
that it's for last man standing, though, like part of me wants to say go P Ryan and just hope he snags touchdown again. You know what I
Or
mean? You,
Alec Pierce, I guess. I didn't even go far
yeah,
enough down on my list.
you just take
Alec
the
Pierce
boom
on a
bust.
prayer. On a
Yeah.
prayer. Woof.
Just
Okay. All
purely for
right.
points, right? You just play the ceiling and hope for the best.
Yeah. Thanks, boys. All right. We'll make a gut game time. Well, no, it won't even be a game time call because they all start at different times. So I'm gonna have to just make a gut decision here.
Yeah,
But
what time does the Germany game start for you? 7:30.
7:30 a.m. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, so you're
Ooh.
2 hours. Okay. I mean,
It's
you'll
all
be
right.
up,
It's
right?
actually not too bad, you know. I just bring my iPad up. I let my lady watch Love Is Blind on the TV, and I
Ooh,
just watch
is
the
she caught up?
iPad.
Is she
Oh,
caught
she's
up?
cut. She's caught up. Yeah,
All
we
right.
are caught up. Yeah.
We,
Oh,
yeah,
I
we
mean,
are. After this podcast, we were starting a Love Is Blind
I
podcast.
watched the
Cut
first
the
season. I
rope.
did love it. So, oh.
Oh, it's an absolute train wreck. It's so stupid, but it's one of those like so dumb
Guilty
that
of
you have to
pleasure.
watch it. Yeah.
It's just great human nature because when they actually see each other for the first time, you can immediately tell based on body language, like, oh, doesn't
Oops.
find him attractive, but cannot say it because we'll be the
Yeah.
pariah of the internet for the
Literally,
next six months.
like, how bad do
Yeah.
you want to get roasted online? All right, don't just be
This guy's a dog. Ugh.
nice.
And the guy's like, this chick's hot, dude. Like, nice. Where she's like, yeah,
He's
I'm
like, wow, dude, fooled her.
full there. But now you can't say no because of the implications.
The
You know, the
implication.
implications.
Yeah.
What's the implications mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means we are no longer friends.
And we will not end the pod on an implication. We will go to our last segment, which is buy low, sell high. Getting very close to the trade deadline. I know a few trade deadlines are this week. That was the OG deadline before the extra week was added. I believe most leagues, redraft leagues, are next week. So this is the time to do it. You can't wait. next week might be too late because you got those bye weeks coming. I think next week one be is it six teams on bye, or is that week 12? And I know week 14 six teams, but I think week 11 or 12 is also like six teams. So
Yeah,
it's gonna be
week
hard. It's gonna be
14
hard to
having
trade.
that many buys is just stupid.
That's the NFL saying, screw you.
Yeah, they hate fantasy. No fun league, no fantasy league.
Yeah, you're right. Both week 12 and week 14 have six teams on a bye.
So it's 12 and 14. Just
I
the,
feel like we've already been battling bye weeks like weekly at this point
Oh,
too.
I mean,
It's escalating, which is rough for the end of the season. Week 10, it's four teams. Week 11, it's four teams. And then week 12 and 14, it's six teams
and week
each.
13. Oh, there's none, right?
Correct.
So it's,
Stupid.
oh, yay. Why not just do two in week 13?
And
Like, right. Split
the
it up.
kicker is that week 14 is literally the last week before most fantasy playoffs start. So
Almost,
there
yeah.
are definitely teams that are in must-win situations to make the
Oh,
playoffs.
yeah. You're going
And
to be deciding your fate.
you could potentially not have Lamar Jackson or anyone on the Ravens, Bo Nix, who's been actually really good statistically. The Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Joe Mixon, all of them have been great. The Colts, who cares about that? Anthony Richards isn't starting.
JT, I mean, that's pretty
Patriots,
big.
nobody really cares. But again, the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels has been amazing. Terry McLaurin, B. Rob, and Eckler have both been serviceable. This is brutal. This is just
Yeah.
brutal this year.
No, I did think it was this week because all my teams have all bye guys. Like, oh, this has to be like the big bye week. And it's not. I'm like, damn, so it's getting worse than this. This is, yeah.
Yeah, these are all good teams. Stinks.
Yep. All right. Buy low, sell high. I'll start with my buy low. And it is Bucks running backs. It's Rashad White, Bucky Irving. If I had to rank them, it's Rashad White one, Bucky Irving two, mainly because Bucky Irving's dealing with that injury he won't get any work on and he's playing through. So this is where you have to go on any website, go to fantasypros.com, look at strength of schedule, playoff strength of schedule from here on out. And the Bucks RBs have a cake schedule here on out. Again, no Chris Godwin, no Mike Evans. We're talking about who do I start out of these Bucks receivers? And we're talking Sterling Shepard. Like, where is the ball going through? It's going to be going through the RBs. They didn't have a great game against KC. White did, Irving did not. But KC is the best defense in the league against the run. So if you can, based off of that, saying, you know, this RB duo didn't do that great together against the Chiefs, buy them now, because I think I mean, the schedule kind of says, you know, White should be closer to a back end RB1 with Irving as a mid RB2. I mean, we're seeing with Gibbs and Montgomery, we saw with Chubb and Hunt for so many years, and I think they can do it because they're going to need them. And then when Evans comes back, sure, that's a big target to feed, but still, who's the second and third option besides Kit Otten? It's them. Like, these guys are going to eat, I think. Baker's playing as at MVP level. They're always in every game too, so they don't have to force to throw. And then if they have to throw, these guys should be seeing 5 to 6 targets a game each. So, Bucks RBs, and then to stash it on that, Sean Tucker is definitely worth a pickup as a stash now if you can. I know bye weeks are coming up, it's tough. But one of these guys go just down, Sean Tucker is a start every week after that.
Yeah, I love it. I love the Bucks. So anytime you can acquire them, I think it's a smart play. I think you nailed it with strength of schedule too. That's how I picked my buy low, which was DJ Moore. I know he hasn't been fantastic for Chicago, but down the stretch run, while you're making a push for playoffs, if you're a fringe team, DJ Moore and the Bears are playing some juicy matchups where he should be able to put up some big numbers against some bad defenses. So same kind of concept that kind of explained to our fans here. Just take the same tact with the wide receiver position. I know he's been lackluster, but I do expect them to figure it out. I think it's just been taking a little bit longer than expected. I'm just a big DJ Moore fan. He's been so consistent over the course of his NFL career. I just expect him to get back to where I know he can be. So I'm still happy to acquire more and more DJ Moore shares. He's also like still, well, like 26, like sneaky young. So this is a redraft play, but I mean, it applies to Dynasty too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's 27, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I love that one personally. I thought Roman Dunze is on the uptrend. They seem to have more chemistry to me, but Moore's talent can't be denied, that's for sure.
Like, what do you think you have to give up for him? It's like, it's not much right now. Like, his performance is so bad. Like, he might even be available to just go pick up in a lot of leagues. So, like, if you have a short bench,
He's hard possible. To start now. Like, again, yeah. Short bench or by week hell, you got to start someone. I'll give you, a flex play for DJ Moore.
Like, if I could go trade Jordan Addison for DJ Moore straight up, I would do that right now.
Deontay Johnson just falling down wide open. Oof.
Damn it. It's not good.
He's like, if I fall down, then I won't get a drop.
Ugh, this game's pretty ugly, honestly. Lamar hasn't looked dialed in either. But yeah, nobody around him. He just tripped. Oh, Deontay, come on, buddy. My buy low. I have two. I kind of want one redraft, one dynasty. This may be obvious to people, but TJ Hawkinson. I mean, he's back, baby. He ended as a tight end 2 in 2022 and 4 in 2023. So the guy knows how to ball. Also, he provides another outlet to that team who's kind of been lacking for pass catchers outside of Justin Jefferson. And Sam Darnold's decent, but he's not chucking the ball down the field. So I think TJ Hawkinson will be a nice safety blanket. Returned last week, had 3 catches for 27 yards on 4 targets, but only played 45% of the snaps. So I think he ramps up this week, gets into the upper 60, or higher snap percentages, and starts to be a real contributor for this Minnesota offense. So go buy TJ Hawkinson low. And the tight end position too has been pretty rough for people this year. So I know he's probably been a buy low for some time, but just reaffirming that. And then for Dynasty, we were kind of discussing this. Go buy Dak Prescott. He had a rough year this year. He's probably going to be on IR. They're estimating 4 to 6 weeks, but they're still doing a medical review to see what specifically is wrong with his hamstring. There have been reports he tore it off the bone. Is he going to have surgery? Is he not? They know he's out for an extended period of time. So from a dynasty perspective, go buy Dak Prescott. Because the other component is that Mike McCarthy, his contract is up at the end of this year. Jerry Jones is an odd duck. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I expect McCarthy to be done in Dallas, and hopefully there will be a new offensive regime here. Also next year, again, from a dynasty perspective, they have to go get a running back. So that'll take pressure off Dak too. They've just been barren at running back this year between Zeke Elliott, Rico Dowdle, and then just an old Dalvin Cook. So those are my buy lows there, redraft and dynasty. Over to sell highs, Scotty.
Yep, my sell high is Cooper Kupp. I love the player. I love that he's back now. But with Puka Nacua there, I mean, it's hard to have two wide receivers. Jamar Chase, how long was that?
Huge. 70 yards, 60 yards.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, Jamar. Again, boys, spread, money line, Jamar Chase. Right. I'll take all three.
Sell Jamar Chase. He just went for a 70-yard touchdown. No.
Yeah, right about 70, 68.
Oh, I hit for 70. Damn it. I got to lose that one. God, Jamar Chase is so good.
He's so good.
Look at this. So like, good. There's 4 guys that you have. That's just piss-poor tackling by the Ravens defense. Nobody converges on him.
Lack of speed. Poor angles.
I mean, after the catch, you got him, and then, I mean, you get Zay Flowers on the other side, too. Like, after the catch last week was unreal.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll move on. At least the Ravens got a pass for your Lamar Jackson guys out there. Derrick Henry guys, sorry.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him.
Cooper Kupp makes my sell high again. I love the guy, but Puka Nacua is there. I know he got ejected last week for brushing up against a guy's helmet with his fist. But with that, of course, Kupp saw a bunch of targets. He saw 14, 104 yards, 15 fantasy points. Great. I mean, I've been seeing on Twitter and everyone really talking like you got to rank Cooper Kupp as a top 10 wide receiver going forward. And I just can't see it with Puka there. If Puka plays a full game, I mean, we saw it last year too. Kupp took a backseat. I know he was hurt. And I mean, if you guys want to take a look, Dows did a lot of research and had an article written about Matt Stafford supporting, multiple tight end ones or even, top 20 guys each. And it's a good read. It's very eye-opening too. And I think that Puka is the better player. I know people don't want to hear that. Not saying Kupp's bad at all, but they both work well together. Kupp, I think, is a fine, wide receiver two. Puka, probably the same thing. But if you can sell Kupp as a wide receiver one right now, I would do it. I wouldn't sell him for DJ Moore or the Bucks RBs, but if you can sell him for like a Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, I would do that.
Yeah, if you can get the right return on him, I think it's the perfect time to do it. Like you said, Stafford historically has had one favorite guy and just peppered him. So I think I just got it wrong. It's just Puka is going to be the guy that he peppers, not Kupp going forward. So I like this one. I have as my sell high another wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. He had a huge game this past week for KC and Pat Mahomes. And to be quite honest with you, he could continue to do this going forward. I don't think he's going to score 30-ish points a week or 20, whatever it was, 29 points a week. But there's a realistic world where he continues to be the focal point of the passing attack in KC and he continues to post 10 to 15 points a week. But I think it's more realistic that this one game was an outlier. Teams will obviously be paying heavy attention to him as really the only threat outside of Travis Kelce in the receiving game that you need to worry about on a consistent basis. So I think teams will adjust, take him away, make them beat him some other way. So I'd like to sell him on the back of this huge game. Hopefully there are some DeAndre Hopkins truthers in your league and you can get a good return for him. He's another guy I wouldn't sell super low. I wouldn't let him go for nothing, but I would definitely consider trading him for the right price.
Yeah, I mean, would you trade him for like Rashad White?
Yeah, I would do that.
Right.
Especially with like the scope of the RB position right now in a lot of leagues dealing with injuries and bye weeks and stuff, you probably are in need of the running back position. Not that there's not a ton of wide receivers hurt too, but I think that's a good swap right there.
Right, Kyle.
Cool.
You're so high. Is this Dynasty or Redraft or both, I guess?
I would say redraft. I still believe. So my sell high is Jackson Smith Njigba or JSN. Again, I just pumped his tires because he helped my team out in TSF with a massive performance last week. But we got to remember, he really hasn't taken advantage of his opportunities thus far this season. Even when DK Metcalf has been out for a couple of weeks, he's had very average stat lines. And last week, I think, was a culmination of opportunity with DK Metcalf out, but Noah Fant was also out too. And so I don't know. Geno Smith and JSN just haven't seemed to have that rapport when Metcalf is starting and Fant's getting on average 4 to 6 targets. So I just think it's a combination of lack of target share that both Fant and Metcalf will be back probably rest of season if they don't get injured again, but both are trending on their bye week as getting healthy and just lack of opportunity. So I mean, obviously don't. This is a sell high. If you can package him with another guy, maybe someone else that we called out to get like an elite tier receiver running back, do that. I don't know. Who would you trade JSN for high right now for needy teams? I was trying to think of good opportunities or comparisons, but was kind
Like
of
if I
coming
could
up.
return like Rashad White and like Nico Collins, who's still kind of hurt, but I think has more upside when he gets back for JSN and like another small piece, I'd be all over that.
I
Like
like a that's a good point. I like, if you could go get James Conner right now, I think, rest of season,
great strength of schedule going forward.
Arizona has a great strength of schedule. So if you can ride that high right now, again, we were talking about how a lot of teams are very RB needy, either due to injury or just nature of being RB needy. So
Like
yeah.
JSN is the perfect guy, I think, to flip for those currently hurt but coming back guys. Like if I could flip JSN into Mike Evans
Mike Evans,
plus, I'd be all over it, like so happy.
That's a great call. Mike Evans is going to eat. I mean, look at K Dot and what he's been doing as the only, he's a tight end. He's not even a receiver, but he's been the main receiver for Baker Mayfield. That's a great call, Dallas. I love that.
Another one I would do is starting the schedule too is if you can do like JSN plus like a flex guy for Malik Nabers, I think would be a home run hit too. So yeah, I mean I think we're all in that discussion where you got to add a guy with JSN to get that top tier guy that's gonna help you out. And like yeah, Nico and Mike Evans, guys that aren't they're on the field right now. People
Yeah,
can't
and you're
play
pitching
them.
it to hopefully a poor team who needs to win now, and you're like, well, JSN's going to get you points today. So give me Mike Evans. I'll tolerate it because I drafted JSN in the 10th round. I'll suck up the empty spot on my roster with Mike Evans, and I'll be all right.
Where are you guys with Isaiah Pacheco? He's expected back what week 12?
Yeah, I
Anywhere
heard
between
end of
week 11 and week
November.
12?
Yeah, week 12. He's still on. Yeah, I guess he's Reed says he looks good, whatever that means for what he's doing right now. But
Yeah, but like a JSN, if you can move JSN for
oh shit,
Pacheco
yeah.
plus, I don't even know if you get plus for Pacheco, but people are probably so frustrated at this point because they took Pacheco, what, third round, fourth round in their
Early, yeah.
drafts, ADP. On a high-powered offense, but yeah, maybe Pacheco's a good choice. I don't know.
I would like that. I
Yeah,
don't yeah, I don't
that's a
know if
good
the
one.
Pacheco owner goes for it since he held him so long, but I'd like it.
Could be a she douse, could be a female owner.
Yeah, I just don't have any of those in any of my leagues, huh? Actually, that's not true. My
We do in TSF.
buddy's
TSF.
ex-wife is actually in our league as well. TSF, big.
Scotty's sister-in-law. She makes amazing pastries.
That is true.
And she won a Zay Flowers jersey last year, signed.
I'm
The squeaky
jealous. Yeah.
mixer. But no, really,
Freshie,
my
squeaky
buddy's
baller.
squeaky baller. Yes. Sorry, the squeaky mixers are Instagram.
Yes, correct. Both
But no,
correct.
really, my buddy's ex-wife is in one of our leagues. They're divorced, but we can't get rid of her because she does have a championship on her belt. So as long as she still wants in and is paying the league fee,
Gotta love fantasy.
she has more of a right to that league spot than anybody else. Like, there are people in our league that have been in with us for 15 years, have never won it. So
It was a horrible divorce, but man, she
oh,
pays.
it's hilarious.
And she wins, like.
Oh, she wins. You're like her new boyfriend's helping her pick her lineup.
Yo,
That's
what a slap in the
diabolical.
face. It
There's a lot
is.
of those jokes going around the league. We're pretty rough about it.
Jesus Christ, the
Yeah,
Ravens
worse in
are
this game. Keep going
hurting.
backwards.
All right.
Gosh, yeah, they look rough.
I guess before the Ravens become even worse. Dows, you can take us out.
Well, Shelfies, as always, we appreciate you listening to the podcast. Hopefully, the Ravens will turn this around so we can actually score some points in fantasy. But, reach out to us, review our starts and sits, which should be out over the next day or so. And, as usual, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.